Thanks, John. One more time, brother. Hit all three of them. Thanks, sir. Do you have room? Is there room in your heart? Room in your home? Room in your family? Or Jesus? And that's really a good question. Also, another way to put it, are you too busy for Jesus? This is a busy time of year. I catch myself, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. I don't even know my own name, Kevin. I really don't. You know your name? No, you don't? I know you don't. It's a busy time of year. We're pulled from everywhere else. Is your billfold being pulled at this time of year a little bit? Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a tough time of year. Because we concentrate on other stuff other than Jesus. I'm just being honest with you. I fall in that same boat. And I'm a pastor. Because the world throws, this is what you need to be doing. You need to be spending. You need to be going. You need to be making time. You need to be cooking. You need to be getting all this in time. And you got outlaws and in-laws and family and everybody else to get together. And all that kind of stuff. And then afterwards, you can get a divorce. I mean, really, truly, the pressure of the world today is a lot like that. But I promise you this. Don't yield to that nonsense. There should be room for Jesus. Make him priority. If you do, everything else will be fine. I promise you that. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Last Sunday, we had the council church, and for those of you who are visiting with us, I'm having a very in-depth preaching series out of the book of Revelations. And I'm having a real good time with this study. It's in depth. It's not easy. We're getting a lot of people on the internet world to watch me ask a lot of questions when I get into the book of Revelation. But I'm telling you this. Understand this. Everything that we talk about and discuss, Jesus is the focal point of all of it. That's what this church believes. Outside of Jesus, we are nothing. He is our everything. He is our Savior, He is our guide, He is our protector, and He's the one building a room for us one day in heaven to those who believe in Him. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand of applause and bow. Now today, in order to keep up with our timetable with the book of Revelation, I've also got to bring you here the birth of Christ. Now this is not easy. When you talk about the birth of Christ, and you talk about Jesus as the resurrected Savior and the ruler of all of the kingdom, we have to really travel really fast here. But understand one thing. In a moment, I'm going to show you some scripture. This is the time of year where we do celebrate the birth of Jesus, but that's really not the beginning of Jesus. If you know your Bible, Jesus has been from the very beginning. Amen. We call it the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to take a couple pieces of scripture just to show you a little bit, talk to you a little bit about how we do celebrate the birth of Jesus, and then we're going to get back into the book of Revelation to understand, because next week I don't preach. We have the cantata, so I got to throw all of this in. I promise you we'll be done by 3 o'clock. Is that okay? Don't make any reservations, go anywhere and eat, do you? Chris, you just passed out. Wake up. You need to get it, right? All right, here we go, Brother Larry. Let's show me some scripture. Now, here's what's interesting. The person who writes the book of Revelation also writes one of the Gospels. Who is it?
John.
Say it with me.
John.
Look what John says in the very beginning of his Gospel now. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. When you study this in the Greek, I want to show you something. And I hope that you believe this, because I'm telling you the gospel truth. When you see the Word, you can separate and put in and substitute the name of Jesus. He is the Word. Look. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The same here being Jesus. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. The reason that Jesus became flesh was for you and for me. There's a reason. We celebrate it, and we celebrate it in the right place. But he becomes flesh and comes to the world just like you and I through a virgin birth. Virgin birth. Let me say that again. Virgin birth. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Man did not conceive Jesus. Jesus was already in. But Mary gave birth to this precious child, conceived by God, came into the world as flesh. Because in order for him to become the ultimate sacrifice, he had become flesh. Born as a baby, just like you and I. Jesus wants to be able, when he gets up to old enough to do his ministry, which is about 3 years, he wants to go through life just like you and I. Because throughout life, you and I relate to Jesus because he felt every pain we feel. He knew what it was to be a child, a teenager, an adult. He knew what it was to be hungry, knew what it was to feel pain, knew what it was to be rejected. He knew what it was to have the weight of the world on his shoulders, just like you feel sometimes. Jesus knows that. The reason is because he became flesh. The Word became flesh. And we celebrate that every December, and we call it the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus. Christmas, Christ-like. Don't ever take Christ out of Christmas, or you won't have Christmas. I could care less what the world says about that. I could care less what emails I get about that internet world. If you take Christ out of Christmas, you don't have Christmas. Give the Lord a hand on that. Now, this is the time of year when we come to celebrate that, but our study has actually been at the end of Christ's life, when he's sacrificed on a cross for you and I. We take Jesus from a baby to a man, and in that time, he truly is going to become sin for you and I on what we call a cross. He's literally going to die. He's going to feel every pain, everything that you can feel of the suffering of the cross through the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet. But the worst pain he will ever feel on that cross is when he takes your sin and my sin on that cross so that you and I can be saved at that moment in time and history. Listen to me very closely. He became sin for you. It started at the birth, the virgin birth, and his life ended on the cross. Life as you and I know it ended on the cross. 3 days later, this world has never been shook when Jesus came back to life.
Amen.
Woo! Wake up here with me, people. It's getting a little excited. I know you're broke, but it's Christmas, but it's time to celebrate. Now, he spends 40 days on this earth. He ascends. The marvel, I wish I could have seen this. He begins to just levitate, leave the world, and everybody looks up. Here's what he says. The angel says, don't worry. You see him leaving.
Amen.
But he's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming back the way you see him. What that means is, when the trumpet sounds, this world's going to be turned upside down. But he's coming back again. He's going to set foot back on this earth again. Now, in the study of Revelation, we're at the point to where we call the rapture of the church. We're in the fifth chapter, fourth and fifth chapter, sort of go hand in hand. We believe that before we get into what we know of as the tribulation period, which the book of Revelation details for us very graphically what happens during that 7-year time. But what we believe, when you accept Jesus Christ, and you can do this in your home, you can do this morning, you can do this whenever. But whenever you accept Jesus Christ, when you believe in the virgin birth, you believe in the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the return of Christ, when you believe that in your heart, that he died for you, and you make that public. I get this asked all the time. Why in churches do they make people walk down an aisle and shake a preacher's hand or do whatever? What is all that nonsense about? Why can't I just call him and make an appointment? and say, hey, preacher, I accepted the Lord that baptized me on the 31st of January on a Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Can you do that for me? And nobody needs to be there. But here's the reason why. It's because everything that Jesus did, he did in a public way. He didn't hide from nobody. If you're going to accept Jesus, you don't hide that. You believe that. There's a difference. Let me tell you again. You don't hide that. You believe that. And what we say when you come forward, you make it public because Jesus died in a very public way. Don't be ashamed of what you believe. Come and make it forward and be excited about it. Even if you, and you can accept Christ on the job, in your home, when you're on vacation, at night, on your knees beside your bed. You can accept him anywhere, but you need to go to a church and say, hey, I want to go and tell the world I believe in Jesus. That's why we have an invitation here, because we're inviting you to make that public thing. Everybody with me so far? Say amen. That's what that means. And when we do that, we believe that your life changes. Now, if you leave this world, die, everybody's going to die one day unless something happens. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But if you die in Jesus, you are one truly wink. Can you wink? Wink away from leaving this world and going to the presence of Jesus if you believe in him. How fast can you wink? That's how fast it's going to be. This past Wednesday night, I had a real difficult time in the Alice's. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, so a few people here know what happened, but I had a real close call Wednesday night, and I passed out in the chair. That moment, I could have been gone. That fast. Now, I've told you this before. Do not weep over me when I'm gone. Don't do that. Monica would dress me up real nice in that casket and all that casket. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be gone. And I'm serious. From the time I blink, I'm going to be gone, and I'm going to be with Jesus. Now, you can miss me, my sense of humor, whatever, all that, that's fine, good, all that kind of stuff. Don't worry about me, okay? Because I'm not going to worry about you if you know Jesus. But it can happen that fast. Now, I say that for a reason. If it can happen that fast, people put off. You know, I got all the time in my world to accept Jesus. I'm young, or I got all the health in the world. You know, I got plenty of time to make it right with Jesus. I hear this all the time. No, you don't. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 95 years old, you can be gone today.
That's right.
You understand that? You can be gone today. If you get in a car and you drive, you can be gone today. It doesn't make any difference. You're not promised tomorrow. Nobody is. You have to understand that. So there is some urgency about you knowing Jesus Christ. Maybe you do have the rest of your life, and maybe you don't. If you want to gamble that, that's your business. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't gamble with eternity life.
Amen.
I wouldn't gamble that. You need to know Jesus, and you need to know it today. You need to know it today. Understand that. You need to know it today. Now, we also believe that the Bible preaches that and teaches us toward the end of time. Toward the end of time, you've heard this, the end of time. The Bible gives us all kinds of hints of when this is going to be. And I've been preaching on this. And the reason I'm doing a little rehearsal, we've got a lot of visitors here with me today. And if I just go right into the book of Revelation, fifth chapter, some of you are going to wonder, what in the world is all this nonsense about? So I'm just trying to do just a real quick to understand what I'm trying to tell you. From the moment in time that we accept Jesus Christ until we pass from this world, if we do, then we are to live for him. But when we pass from this world, the Bible says we go to be with Jesus immediately in his presence. The Bible also teaches that one day a trumpet's going to sound across this land and the whole world's going to hear it. When that happens, those people who are alive, and the Bible gives us hints of when this may be. Certain things have to be, as we call it in the biblical world, fulfilled before that happens. Believe me, I've done enough Bible study and I've taught enough this congregation. Everything has been fulfilled, ready for Jesus. You turn this TV on, you turn the internet on, you see the condition of the world around the world. The Bible says that toward the end of time, everything will be concentrated around the Holy Land. Every time you turn the news on, everything that's going on in this world has to do with everything around Israel and the Holy Land. The time is set. The motion is set. It's here. It's in place. The Word of God also says that for the Antichrist to be able to come and to be able to do everything, he has to be able to communicate with the world. Let me tell you something. If you own one of these, You own one of these, they know where you're at right now. The government knows where you're at right now. If you got one of these, how many people got one of these? Just raise your hand. Well, I assure you do. Absolutely. Lord, you came to mind without one of them, can't you? The Bible says that one person will be able to trap the whole entire population of the world. That day is here. Now, I say this for a reason. It's because everything is set in motion for this trumpet to sound. When it does, the Bible teaches us that Christian people will be changed in a blink of an eye. If it was to happen while we're in this setting right now, there'd be a lot of people gone to know Jesus. I mean, literally gone in a blink of an eye. And when that happens, some things are going to happen. And it's called the rapture of the church. Rapture means to be called up, means to leave. Called up with who? Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is going to meet us in the air. And there we're going to go and be with him. Now, there are going to be other people. Books have been written on this. Movies have been put out called Left Behind. There are going to be some people left behind. For every hour, I want you listening. There's going to be some people left behind. You've got families going to be left behind when this happens in history. And when this does, it begins a process of understanding what's going to happen over the next 7 years. The Bible calls this the Great Tribulation. You think this world is in bad shape now, you've not seen anything until what's going to happen during this 7-year tribulation period. Now, I told you all that to say this. In a moment, when I show you a couple pieces of scripture in Revelation, there's something's going to be going on in heaven while this tribulation period's going on down here. And the 4th and 5th chapter of the book of Revelation says we're going to be doing nothing but praising God, praising God, praising God. Everything down here is going to go to hell in a handbasket, if you will, but we're going to be in heaven praising God. Amen. And I brought you to that, so when I go to look here in the book of Revelation, you'll know what I'm talking about. Now, I did that pretty fast. Some of you, it may have went over some of your heads. Some of you say, no, I don't believe all that nonsense. That's fine. I don't care. When you meet Jesus one day, just say, hey, that preacher was an idiot. And then let him say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Amen. Yeah.
Let's just play it out. All right, here we go, Larry. We're in the 5th chapter. This is at the point where Christian people are in heaven. Now we're praising God. Look what it says. Now, in chapter 4, we talked about a throne room. We talked about a place that when John sees in his revelation of the point in time of what's going on quickly in chapter 4, everybody in God's throne, which is us, some angels, some other people set in motion there, and all we're doing is praising God. And this is where we pick up at. And I saw, John saying, I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne. All right, old people, who's sitting on the throne? God. Who's sitting on the throne? God. And I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. This is not a book like Christian Barson. It's not a book like this. I mean, this is how we know a book today. This is the Bible, of course, but this is how we know a book. This is going to be a scroll. This is going to be paper wrote up. It's going to have 7 seals on it. Can you get the picture of it? Not a book like this, but a scroll. Paper, you know, if you take paper and you roll it up, it makes a roll. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Chris. Now, what he sees here is on both sides, written within and on both sides. On both sides, there's writing. And 7 seals that keep it together. All right. And I saw a strong angel, not a weak angel, but a strong angel, proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? A strong angel. He says, who? Who? Who is worthy? Who is worthy to take the seals off? You get it with me? You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, brother Larry, here we go. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I, now I here is John. This is the writer of the book of Revelation. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. He sees in this vision God sitting on a throne. He has this scroll in his right hand. My right hand. He's holding it up. Nobody's come to get it. And they begin to say, who's worthy? Who can take it? Who can take it out of his hands? Who can open it up? Now, John, up to this point, is very excited because he's seeing this in a vision. And now all of a sudden, nobody's coming for him. And he begins to cry. Let me give you an example like this. What did I do? This young lady's got a present, doesn't she? Do you see that? Hold it up. Hold it up high. Everybody see that? You like getting those, don't you? Huh? Say amen if you like getting
them. Amen.
All right. Honey, that's yours. But you can never open it. Would that be too good of a present if you could never open it? It's yours, but don't you ever open it. Not the rest of your life, don't you ever open it. It's pretty useless, isn't it? Now, if I give it to you and tell you to open it, man, that's party time, man, isn't it? This means yes. Yes, that's right. That's right. Someone says, I got a gift, but I can't do nothing with it. I can't open it. I can't do anything with it. You ever got one of those, Melissa? Yeah, that's depressing, isn't it? That's right. Well, why give me the gift if I can't open it? Does that make sense so far? Carl, don't give me a gift I can't open. You do have me a gift, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. So he begins to cry. He says, I'm weeping because nobody was found worthy to open it up. I can't open it. Nobody can open it. Do you get the picture? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Larry. And one of the elders, and we don't know who this is, but one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, quit crying, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Go ahead, Brother Larry. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The four beasts, I've taught you that. You know who the elders are? That's us in heaven. They look and they see that the Lamb has been slain. Now, here's the way John sees this. He doesn't see a lamb, he sees Jesus. But let me tell you one thing. When we see Jesus, one of the things that you're going to see in Jesus, the nails in his hands, you're going to see that one day. The nails in his feet. You're going to know that this was the Jesus that was slain for you. You're going to know it. You're going to bow down and you're going to praise him forever and ever and ever, because this was the Jesus that died for you and died for me. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, seven horns, seven eyes, seven spirits. Every time I've taught this to my people, every time you see the word seven, it means complete. It means perfection. Seven horns, that's pretty powerful. Now, those hunters around here, have you ever hunted anything, killed anything that had seven horns? You better run if it's got seven horns. I don't care what kind of gun you got. It means power. It means power. Seven eyes. This is the Jesus who sees all around him. He's been there from the beginning and the middle, and he'll be there through eternity. He sees all and knows all. This is Jesus. And the seven spirits of God, we all know that it's a God the Father, God the Son, and God what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is there as well. Now, I'm going to stop here, but I want you to look at verse 7. Who took the book? And he being Jesus, came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. In 2 weeks, when I finish this, there's going to be a new song that's going to be sung because we all understand that Jesus is going to open the book. But this is not a happy time for everybody. These seven seals that hold this paper together. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
He's going to open them up. One at a time. And beginning in chapter 6, as he opens them up, it begins the warnings and the punishment of those people who were living at the time who absolutely denied Jesus. We're going to look at them one at a time, and we're going to study them out. This is not all of chapter 5. We finish up with it at a later date where it talks about how much we're going to continue to worship God. It's called a new song. One day, folks, we're going to have a new life, a new spirit, a new body, and a new song. If you're a child of God, listen to me closely. Whether you're watching me by internet or you're in this audience, listen to me closely. Not everybody's going to sing the song. Because there are people all across this globe today that don't care less about God, could care less about Jesus, could care less about living a Christian life. They don't want to hear it. They don't want nothing to do with that. They don't want anything to do with church. They figure they're going to get there on their own merit. Believe me, I understand that because at one point in time, I thought that as well. But I promise you, you're never going to see the gates of heaven on your own authority. The only way you're going to see it is when you accept Jesus Christ and accept Him, that He is your Father, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, and believe on Him. And when you believe that, because you believe it into the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the return of Jesus, that's what you believe. Not because I say it, but because God's Word says it. That's the authority. And if you believe that, one day we're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. If you don't, get ready, because you're going to see some things that absolutely is going to scare you to death. I hope it scares you. Not that I'm going to scare you. I couldn't scare nobody. But God's Word gets pretty scary from the 6th chapter on. If you're busy with us, come back and follow me through this. If not, you can watch me on the internet at www.coldbaptistchurch.org and watch how this unfolds. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Today is the day of salvation. We come to celebrate the birth of Christ. What a celebration. It had to begin at the birth. There has to be a beginning or there can't be an ending. The beginning was at the marvelous, miraculous birth of Jesus. In a cave. There was no room for him. No room for him in the hotel, at the Holiday Inn. Wasn't even no room for him on the street. He came in this world. They laid him in a manger where cows sucked water out of. This is pretty humble, isn't it? Can I make that clear enough for you? This is a manger. This is where cows drink water. There was no room in a nice warm place. And that was okay with Jesus. Because Jesus planned it. He came in this world with nothing. He left this world with nothing. You come in this world with nothing. And literally, you're going to leave this world with nothing. Except I hope you leave this world with Jesus. That's the Jesus way. May the Lord have applause. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. As Larry begins to play the music, Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, your presence is in this place. Your spirit is in this place. Father, we come at this wonderful time of year to celebrate the miraculous virgin birth of Jesus. But Father, Jesus didn't stay a baby. He did become a man. Yes, he did. And that man would go to a cross for each and every one of us. Literally lay down his life of his own free will. He became sacrifice for sin that we truly, if we believe, can be saved. People ask me all the time, what's it mean to be saved? You're being saved from a devil's hell. You're being saved, literally pulled out of the fires of hell one day by your belief in Jesus. It's the same way as if you were drowning in a pool and someone went in and saved you. This is the picture you get of Jesus. He's trying to save you today, but you have to believe. Do you believe? Have you ever made that calling? In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Whether you've been coming here for years or whether or not you're a first-time visitor, no one knows when they leave this place today, the future. But this is your time to accept Jesus. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, bless these moments. We thank you for it. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. Father, if there be one here today, lost, young, or old, that they would come today in the name of Jesus. In that precious and holy name we pray, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?